Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode 400, the big 400 of the podcast. And it's Friday, 26th of October, as I record this, on the cusp of moving into November. Oh my goodness, moving towards the end of the year. But yes, the big 400, which is pretty major, but I'm not going to dwell on it because I promised I'd get to 400. Here we are. And now I guess I'm promising we'll get to 500 eventually. And I did say I would review the situation. And thanks to you guys spreading the word about the show and new listeners arriving all the time. Also, the wonderful patrons supporting the show financially on Patreon. I love you all. And to our corporate sponsors, Kobo Writing Life, Ingram Spark, and Drafter Digital, and Reezy, who I'll be talking about today. I'm committing to episode 500. And since I'm going to do a special show in March for the 10 years of the podcast, I also have another special show coming up in December for 10 years of the Creative Pen Limited. So 10 years of my blog is December, 10 years of the podcast is March, so I'll be doing special shows then. So not going to do a special show today, although every show is special, of course. So today I'm talking about how to sell more books on Kobo with Camille Mofidi from Kobo Writing Life. And I'm really thrilled about this. And we talk a lot about, obviously, how to sell more. And we also talk about opportunities for global reach, translations, what's going on in Europe, Canada, and lots of other things. Camille is French, and so she brings a read, and she's European manager for Kobo, so Kobo Writing Life. So you get a real sense of what's going on in the rest of the world. And I love this because it's so often the news is always about, you know, the the biggest river, world's longest river, as Mark Lefebvre, now at Drafter Digital, always says. But it's so great to focus on what else is happening, what's happening in different countries. So we're talking about, like, Italy, for example. What are some of the things that Kobo is doing with different countries? So yeah, that is coming up. So in publishing news, I did want to mention one thing which was interesting about Frankfurt Book Fair. So there was a discussion of the subscription model at Frankfurt. Now, this is not a new thing. We all know about the subscription model, cough, cough, KU. But an Audible, for example, and I have a subscription to Audible. Kobo have Kobo Plus in the Netherlands, except it is not exclusive, which is what I would like all subscription models to be. I'd happily be in KU if it was non-exclusive. It's just kind of crazy to me. I understand it, but it's so interesting to hear about this subscription model being discussed at, you know, with traditional, the sort of the top of the pile of traditional publishing at Frankfurt Book Fair. And the reason it also came up for me is I've been listening again to the audiobook of The Inevitable by Kevin Kelly. Now, Kevin Kelly is one of these guys who is incredibly prescient about the future. He was one of the first people to do internet stuff. He co-founded Wired magazine, which is one of my favorite magazines. And he's really very futurist. The Inevitable was published in 2016, but it's crazy because most of the stuff he talks about is only now sort of starting to happen. And he talks about the inevitability of the technological change that's going on. And one of the things he talked about, which is also what I talked about the other week, is the price of digital essentially going to zero. So people, you know, subscription models, we've seen the authors' payments are reducing and reducing. When you, those of us who are in ACX for audio, you can see that because we can't set our own prices and people use their subscriptions, like me, like my husband, who loves his 50-hour audiobooks for the same price as my sort of 4-hour ones, you can see how the price of digital trends towards zero. And also the trend of access versus ownership. So you don't need to own the audiobooks, they can just be there and you can listen to them. And I'm, again, this none of this stuff ever depresses me. As you know, I'm a glass half full person, or a glass mostly completely full. And what I was thinking about this, I also went last week. I've had a few big things happen this week. As ever, all these pennies drop around the place. But I went to this exhibition at the British Library about Anglo-Saxon books, basically. And I wrote in my Day of the Vikings, I wrote about the Lindisfarne Gospels, and there were books there. I kid you not, they were from like the 7th century. Some really just old books, and you're kind of leaning over these books. They've got writing in, they have hardback, they're bound with blocks of wood or bound with leather, they've got these beautiful clasps on, but essentially they are writing on vellum, or some of them, you know, paper made from cloth. And but it was just fascinating because it made me revisit the whole idea of the physical book. Now, I've obviously been moving towards this for a long time. I got back into print a few years ago now quite heavily. And then when I moved to using Ingram Spark, in addition to what was CreateSpace, now KDP Print, I have started to do a lot more formats. Obviously, I've moved into large print, workbooks, and this week I got my first hardback. I am so thrilled with it. Seriously, I am loving the hardback. So you can do print on demand hardbacks with Ingram Spark, and I am really thrilled about this. I think it's a fascinating product. I feel I've never really had a vanity shelf. I obviously have printed books I put up in the background of my videos and stuff, but I've never really gone, oh yeah, I just want a shelf with all my books on. But now the hardbacks mean that I really want the vanity shelf thing going on. So I will be putting all of my backlist into hardback and doing that going forward as well. So my launch this week for Valley of Dry Bones, another big thing that happened this week, the hardback is just about ready, but I've got the ebook, obviously. I've got the normal print 5x8, I've got a big 6x14 times whatever it is, 9x21 or yeah, something like that for the large print. And then I've got the hardback coming. I've got the audiobook about to be narrated by my professional narrator, Veronica Giguere. Sorry, Veronica. So I'm really thrilled about that. Also, sort of circling back to what Kevin Kelly talked about and what we see in the music space, we see the rise of vinyl. There's another book that's out at the moment called Revenge of Analog, which I'm reading. Also, the fact that experience is so important, and that's part of the reason that I'm going with my own narrations, is that the experience of my books will be improved by me reading them. And so that is something I've talked about that about 2019, but I also want to look at really doubling down on what is inherently me. I'm even thinking of, even though I said I wouldn't do a lot more speaking, I feel that the reason I was getting to that point was I was kind of tired of giving the same talks. But what's happening is I'm starting to get asked to do more interesting stuff. And I am interested in speaking about things I'm passionate about. So the other thing I might do is actually run some more of my own events, like really small masterclass events in 2019, 2020, really thinking about how I can bring experience to my brand so that my digital does not go to zero. Well, even if it does go to zero, or the income that I'm making from digital is reducing, and it definitely is. Many of you have noticed this in Facebook groups and other things, is the how much more difficult it is to sell digital in this age. So I'm really thinking about, you know, what happens when stuff changes even more. And this also leads me on to the futurist stuff this week, because there was an article in The Guardian about twisted fiber optics, which could make the internet 100 times faster. And I'm not going to go into this too much. I'm just going to leave that in your brain. What does it mean if the internet is 100 times faster? I'm just kind of, my brain is blown away by that. I think we've all been party to what's almost been incremental growth. You know, some say the Moore's law thing means that it's not incremental. It's actually going a lot faster. But if you think about 100 times faster, what does that even mean for what we can do? I'm still thinking about that. I'm just going to leave it with you. Put that in your brain, have a think about it, and let's move on. So my personal update, I've kind of hinted a bit about this, but the Valley of Dry Bones launch went out this week. Really happy with the reception that's getting, the reviews, and I'm pleased to get it out of the way. Really excited to start something else. My energy was sort of being sucked into all those little things you have to do around launch. Now, I'm just going to give you a list of some of those things because I know you guys like to, get some tips. And of course, if I do in next year in 2019, a lot of you replied and said you want me to do some podcasts each month where it's just me talking about a topic. So I think we'll definitely do that. I will look at how I can do that. But this would be one example. So launches. So I did pre-orders. I think pre-orders, if you're wide, are critical and really good. So for Kobo and iBooks, certainly you get a lot more traction with pre-orders. I have an advanced reader team, my pen friends for my JF Pen books, and they all got my book early. So that's how I got reviews on day one. I am using a lot more BookBub. And again, BookBub ads are great for, again, if you're wide, you can target people on things like Google Play, as well as Kobo, Apple. I've even started doing some Facebook ads with Apple, which I hadn't really done before. But I'm really trying to grow. I've been wide since the beginning, but I'm really trying to make much more of an effort to advertise to wide at the moment. So, but BookBub's really interesting. So this is the first time that BookBub that I've done a featured deal, or it's not a deal, it's like a featured email blast on a new release. So full price, there is an email going out on the 30th of October for Valley of Dry Bones. So I can't give you any results on that. I might have something next week, I guess, but it's just as expensive as the normal featured deal, but it's not on a discount. So it'd be very interesting. It's a bit of a risk because, of course, maybe no one will buy it. but BookBub have been building up their sort of full priced stuff recently. So again, I think probably because of that going to zero idea, they're like, okay, we need to protect our business model going forwards. So I've also done a whole month of price promotion on End of Days, which is book 9, and Valley is book 10. So I've had a buy more, save more on Kobo. So that's if you buy more of my books, you can save more money. So that's been on all of my books on Kobo. I did a photo shoot. Jonathan, my husband, did some photos. If you have seen my cheeky picture on Instagram or social media or Facebook, etc., you'll see me smiling with the book and looking cheeky. We also, at the same time, did a hilarious photo for the Stallone. If you haven't seen this, just Google Sylvester Stallone chaos pen, and there is this brilliant video. So Stallone has just put out a new pen with Monty Grappa. Now I have a Monty Grappa. I write with a ruby Monty Grappa with purple ink in my journals, and when I saw this pen is so like Gates of Hell. So if you have seen the front of my book Gates of Hell, or go and check it out on jfpen.com, but basically I have this key to the Gates of Hell, which is topped with a skull, and the chaos pen is all about a skull. So I was like, let's do a photo shoot with me and then pitch Monty Grappa on recruiting me as a brand ambassador for Stallone's chaos pen. I haven't heard back, but if you have any contacts with Monty Grappa or Sylvester Stallone and you think I'd be an appropriate brand ambassador for the chaos pen, then stick it out there. I just find it. I was like, I love this pen. This is amazing. And they were not marketing at me at all. So I did that. I did Facebook ads. And again, all of these things are hilarious because you try things, stuff doesn't work. So I put all my Facebook ads up on launch day. To be fair, I should have done it earlier, but my ads got blocked for one of their automatic warnings around alcohol related. It was like, you can't advertise alcohol. And I'm like, it's not alcohol, it's a book. So I think maybe the word dry might have triggered something. I don't know, but it was quite hilarious. But now they've allowed it through. Obviously, I've talked about Valley on the podcast. So if you guys do not know, I have a book out called Valley of Dry Bones. And it is a thriller, supernatural thriller.
super fun. So yes, I've talked about that. I also did email blasts to my email list, and I have done content marketing. So I did an article about San Francisco and shared all my pictures, and the book includes San Francisco as well as Spain and the Philippines and New Orleans. So there you go. Right, what else? I have so much to talk about today. I've just had a really good week. I feel like I've been down in the dumps. Oh yeah, I was going to say that. I've been down in the dumps and just feeling, oh goodness, I'm just over this. And then I realised why. It's because I've been so focused on all these little things that you have to do around launch and that finishing energy that I just needed to get started again. So I went to the cafe as usual and started the next Matt Walker book. So when I say started, for me, that means reviewing book one and going through my ideas and starting to research. So that has made me so much happier. So if you are someone, and if you're down in the dumps and grumpy and like, oh goodness, why am I doing this? Just give yourself a bit of time to fill the creative well, which I did when I went to the exhibition in London, and then get back to writing and you'll feel so much better. Also, I've been editing my short stories for audio. What I'm doing now with this voice coach is I've recorded a story, and then actually after I've recorded this, I've got a coaching session where he's listened to the story and is going to give me feedback on the story. Then I'm going to record it again and we're just going to iterate through that process. So I'm still intending to have 1,000 Fiendish Angels out in audio by Christmas, and that is 3 short stories, which will be in total. Each story is about 4,000 words, so it'll probably be an hour and 15 minutes in total, something like that. We shall see. But I'm very much enjoying it, so that is good. Also, I've put this week, I've put the Penny Appleton books wide, starting to run BookBub ads and do Kobo promotions, that type of thing. But of course, just as a reminder, since we're in a wide episode, it does take, you know, let's say 3 to 6 months, possibly more, to get things moving in the new ecosystems. So have patience if you're going wide. This week, just before I move on, this week I will be in Philadelphia for the Book Baby Conference. I'm speaking on book marketing and also how to make a living with your writing, which is my keynote. I will be doing that, the keynote session on Sunday. And also I'm very excited. And in fact, the reason I accepted this speaking event is I'm visiting the Mutter Museum, which is one of the most famous anatomy museums in the world. And if you have read my novel Desecration, you'll understand why I'm so fascinated with the Mutter. Oh, and just on that, if you're an anatomy fan like me and into medical history and bodies, then the Bodies exhibition has just opened, has got a home now in London. I saw it in New York a few years ago, but now it's in London in Piccadilly Circus, which is very cool. Right, quick useful thing, because it again fits with today's theme. Mark Lefebvre, who was at Kobo and who is now at Drafter Digital, Mark has a new book out this week, which I think goes in under the segment of useful stuff. It is called Killing It on Kobo, which is fantastic. And I know a lot about Kobo, but I learned quite a few things from this book. Plus, Mark's behind the scenes stories are really interesting. So check that out. Killing It on Kobo by Mark Lefebvre. And the Kobo Writing Life podcast is now weekly with Chrissy and the team. So if you want to know more about Kobo, and we do talk about it, but check out the Kobo Writing Life podcast. Okay, so emails and tweets this week. Marla said she enjoyed, loved the positive energy you both exude. That was the interview with Sherilyn last week. Thank you for sharing a great interview to motivate creatives. Linda says, Sherilyn really is one of the most positive writers of our time. I'm really inspired by her work and success. I hope someday I will become as successful a writer as she is. 80 million books. Yes, I would like to sell that many too. Jeff Adams says, Will and I are in Portsmouth, VA for Gay Rom Lit, which I always think the gay community has such fun titles. So for Gay Rom Lit, and came across this cemetery as we were walking around. Thank you for the pictures of the cemetery. I love you guys sending me pictures of dead places. Suzanne Kelman says, I love your blog. I actually have an alert on my calendar every day that says lunch with Joanna, where I read or listen to your podcast while I eat my lunch. I learn something new every day. And that just made me smile so much, Suzanne. I am so thrilled. And of course, coming up to 10 years, there's a hell of a lot of backlist. And it's funny because I've started revisiting some of the older pieces. I've started preparing the 10th anniversary of the start of the blog. And my very first article on the Creative Pen still pretty much holds up. It's fascinating. I will read that when we come to the 10th episode. Mike says, I've been listening to your podcast while visiting my mother in the hospital and now rehab facility, which is, you know, an hour plus drive each way. Your podcasts have helped me keep thinking about writing when the amount of time I have to write is reduced. So yeah, difficult times. And I suggested to Mike maybe try and do dictation, although obviously you need to keep your mind on the road. But sometimes you could just talk along. And finally, Tara B. Thornburg says, wonderful interview with Sherilyn Kenyon. You must clean out the toxic influences in your life and surround yourself with positivity. Be the steamroller that keeps on going. Yeah, I like that. And yeah, I definitely think that's the key. And of course, whenever I talk about futurist stuff and changes in the market, you just have to appreciate that nothing stays the same and that the pace of change definitely is speeding up. So I still hope to be the person giving you the positivity and the steerage as we move on through. But Jonathan and I were saying just this morning, because we are looking at the Apple Watch situation with audio and stuff like that, and just going, wow, we just live at the best time in history ever. We're so happy. And I know sometimes things can seem dark in many ways because of the way the media spins stuff. But if you feel negative, then yeah, really look at how much media you're consuming and maybe cut some of that out and look at things like Wired, which I always say is one of the most positive things I read every month. All right, this is turning into a bit of a longer introduction than I expected. But today's show is sponsored by Readzy, which is the marketplace for curated professionals to help you edit, publish, and market your books. And I think that curation is why I continue to recommend Readzy so much, because we all know we need professional editors, professional designers, professional help with stuff. But it's very hard to find someone that we're happy to work with and someone we feel is going to be value for money. And that curation, the people that Readzy list have to go through certain checks to make it onto their marketplace. So they have, yeah, professional editors, book cover designers, marketing professionals, ghostwriters, website builders, and more. Plus, they have an awesome free manuscript formatting tool called the Readzy Book Editor. So if you're looking for formatting and you want to use that one, then definitely worth checking that out. Plus, in keeping with this episode, Mark Lefebvre actually has a free course on Kobo hacks for optimizing sales on Readzy. So you can go and check that out at thecreativepen.com/Readzy, R-E-E-D-S-Y. And yes, that is my special link, so you will know you're coming from this podcast. Right, so thanks to everyone also supporting the show on Patreon. Thanks to new patrons, William Bernhard, Jessica Renwick, Farm to Bath, Brenda Sullivan, Chrissy Munro, hey Chrissy, Terry J. Walker, Megan Knuckles, Betsy Horvath, Christine Goodner, and thank you to Kelly Duggan for increasing her pledge. And thanks to everyone supporting the show on Patreon. Like the tweets and emails, it demonstrates you enjoy the show and want it to continue and find it valuable enough to give a couple of dollars a month to the show. So less than a coffee a month, or a couple of coffees a month if you're feeling generous, and you'll get the whole backlist. And the holiday season is coming up, and I know lots of people love listening to the Q&A backlist during the holiday season. You have, 3 years worth of Q&As that you can listen to. And of course, I sent out October's last week. So check that out. You can support the show at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Right, let's get into the interview. Today, I'm here with Camille Mofidi. Hi, Camille.
Hi, Joanna. Thanks for having me with you today.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Just a little introduction. Camille is the European manager for Kobo Writing Life based in Paris, France. And that's why you're going to hear this gorgeous accent here today.
Yeah, I know you love my accent.
I do. I always do. So, Camille, just start by telling us a little bit about you and your background and how you got into helping authors.
Sure. So I have a master's degree in publishing, and my first job was an editorial assistant and then editor within various imprints of the Hachette Book Group in France. I mainly work with nonfiction authors, and I really love that that relation with the authors, with the writing and working on the text. Then after a few years, I got recruited by the French Publishers Association, and I was a counselor for digital publishing. And it was 2008, so back then the ebook revolution was just starting in France, so it was a great moment to be working on those issues and working with publishers so that they could turn digital by that time. And so after a few years then, I wanted to go back to the work with authors, the relation with them, with their text and publishing, but I still wanted to keep that digital field. And then I met Marc Lefebvre at Paris Book Fair, and that's how I got recruited, and I started with Kobo, taking in charge the development of the platform in Europe.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And I love that you've been involved in publishing so long and the different sides as well, which is so important, and we're going to come back to. But I want to start, like, most people know that, well, originally Kobo came out of Canada, but of course it's owned by a Japanese company, Rakuten, and you're in Europe. So can you just talk a little bit about how widespread is Kobo in the global market in terms of where you are and the strategic partnerships, and just give people that overview?
Well, the thing that is interesting with Kobo and the smart idea the Kobo founders had from the beginning was that they decided to launch internationally. And right from the start, they were wise enough to think that if you want to be successful with ebooks, you need to reach readers everywhere, because with ebooks, you don't have any boundaries, any frontiers anymore. And so they launched initially in multiple countries. And by partnering in each geo with the biggest book retailer in that country, which was very smart, because they were really enhancing the complementarity between both formats, print and ebook, rather than opposing them, as sometimes we still hear that. And so that's how we've been working with Indigo in Canada, with Fnac in France, but also in Spain and Portugal, with bol.com, which is the main book retailer in the Netherlands, and with Mondadori and La Feltrinelli in Italy. And of course, in the UK, we work with WH Smith. And so these partnerships have been very strategic for us, not just because we were able to sell our devices there, but also because we have the whole Kobo ebook catalog on those websites. And for example, Fnac is, of course, it's a very big chain of booksellers in France, but Fnac.com is also a big part of the Fnac book revenue today. So for us, it really made sense to be partnering globally with all these famous names. Famous for book readers, and also because we were really targeting from the beginning the book readers.
Yeah, and that's why I love Kobo, and I've you know, been with you guys since you launched, and why I got so annoyed with Nook, because I knew that Nook was not gonna, well, I say they're not gonna make it, but when they pulled out of the world and just went back to the US, I was just like, whoa, what's happening, you guys? But, you know, I love the fact that Kobo's out there in 190 countries. And in fact, my sales, even in Sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, Asia, through Kobo, because you guys are there regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for stressing the huge number of countries where we are, because obviously you have you can reach your, for example, if I'm a French writer and I'm writing in French, I can reach, of course, the readers based in France and in the French islands from the Caribbean. But think of all the people in Canada who speak and read French, in Belgium, in Switzerland, in all those African countries. And as you said, when authors are publishing with us, they just love that Kobo Writing Life map when they can see all the places and sometimes some very, very small island lost in an ocean that they wouldn't even imagine they could find a reader there.
Yeah.
So that's also the magic of ebook and of our platform.
Yeah, I agree. Now, one of the recent partnerships that has just happened is the partnership with Walmart in the US and also the purchase of Overdrive by Rakuten. So it's a sister company, but they have library penetration in the US as well. So this is a big deal. So things are changing in the US. And I mean, this is a big change because Kobo's been kind of secondary or third probably behind iBooks and of course Amazon in the US. So how is this is very new as we talk, but how is this Walmart integration working and what's happening with Kobo and Walmart?
So this is our most exciting news recently. It was launched end of the summer. And yeah, you're right. In the US, this was one of the challenging markets for us because some listeners will probably remember that our partner there was named Borders and they went bankrupt. So that was unfortunate. And after that, we've been working with the indie booksellers there. But obviously in front of Amazon, we really needed to push the game. And so that's how this deal with Walmart is really strategic for us because, obviously, you cannot aim at growing your US readership without being on Kobo US today. Otherwise, you will just miss the tens of millions of shoppers that Walmart has today. And for us, this presence is, of course, we have the Kobo devices, we have the digital gift cards and book cards, where we also feature our top indie authors when we can, because we really want to leverage that physical presence. And then you have the Walmart Kobo co-branded site, where you have all the ebooks catalog and also the application. So basically, being on Kobo today and publishing your ebooks on Kobo Writing Life just lets them go through to the Walmart shopper in the end. And that's a whole new market that you want to reach through us.
Yeah.
So, of course, this is the early beginning, but we are already working very hard to put together some promotions dedicated to Walmart shoppers. And those are accessible to, of course, the Kobo authors who publish on Kobo Writing Life. So keep ready to see more of this coming up very soon.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And I had some books in the first month's promotion through the Kobo promotions. Now, this does bring up the biggest question that people ask because, you know, many authors feel that it is difficult to gain traction when publishing wide. So it's not just Kobo, it's also iBooks, it's also Nook, it's also all the other potential retailers. And people kind of understand, I think, a bit how to market on Amazon. But what are some tips that you can give people for selling more books on Kobo?
So I will start with the beginning. I think it's always good to remember people where your books can be found. So if you are publishing on Kobo, just tell your readers that your books are available on Kobo. Put the links to your Kobo books on your website, on your author's page, on social media. Announce it also through your newsletter. So that's the first. Mm-hmm. And then,
Before you go on, just on that, you're exactly right. And I was talking to quite a big name author who's been just on Amazon. And he was like, so if I go wide, how do I sell books on Kobo? I'm like, you do email marketing, send an email out to people and give them a link. And also the books to read, which, you know, bookstoread.com, you can put multiple links on there. So you can do it just with one link. But it's so funny you say that. And I hear people going, yeah, yeah. But actually, so many people don't even do that.
I know. It seems, you know, sometimes we just forget about the most obvious thing. That's why I like to just start with the basics. But that's the first step. Mm. Then there is a number of things you can leverage on Kobo. For example, free. We have free pages in all of our geos. So that's really something that you want to keep in mind, because we have been working hardly on conversion from paid to free to paid. So if you write in series and you have a first print series, that's really something you can leverage by reaching out to us in order to be listed on those pages, or by applying to a free first print series promotion on the promotions tab. We'll probably get to that later on with in more details. Then something that a lot of people tend to forget, we are reaching readers in many countries and many currencies. So please remember to price your ebook in several currencies, at least the main ones: USD, Canadian dollars, GBP, Euro, and Swiss franc also. If you are in Europe, that's also something and aiming to French readers. The main ones, don't just put your price either in GBP or USD and let the other prices get converted. Because you never know, you may have some reader. Let's say I'm an American living in Switzerland and I like to read your books if you're an American writer. So, If your book is priced in USD, it's fine. But to me, the price will be a very weird price in Swiss franc. And it's just that we know today that there are some online buying practices that are very strong. And it's not just for ebooks. It's for any good that you will buy online. We are all now used to the price that ends by something .99.
Just on the pricing, I mean, you mentioned free, you mentioned multi-currency pricing. Again, I absolutely, and many people who are Amazon only think free is now not worth doing. But I always say the point is doing free on Kobo, doing free on iBooks is really valuable. So I still do perma free. Can I just also mention box sets? I feel box sets, like there's perma free and box sets, are two really powerful things. Yeah. I think most of my income on Kobo, it's something like 40%, maybe not most, but a big chunk of money that I get from Kobo is box sets. So do you see that across the board?
Yeah, absolutely. Box sets, it's also because we don't have that superior cap. You can price your ebook higher than 9.99 euro or USD. You will still get the 70% royalties. So that's one thing important on the income side. And also the box set, we've seen some authors doing some super size box set. Priced very high, and then because their readers were avid readers in romance and they had like a huge number of books by that author that they really wanted to get. So those authors have been very successful with those supersized box sets. Mm. And then those authors also do translate them in other languages, and they get traction from those box sets too. Plus, something to remember is that our local merchandisers, they all have their own schedule and key points, but some of them in Europe are fond of box sets promotions. So if you have a box set and if it's priced high, that you also get the ability to do a nice price drop in a promotion. And so the big cuts that you can do in a promotion will also be a good leverage to the readers.
Yeah. So just so people realize what you're saying. So someone might have 10 books that they might, a 10 book box set that they price at $50 or 50 euro, and then they'll cut the price to 25 euro. And it's still a great bargain for the reader. And they get 70% of that. And it doesn't have to be on Amazon. So there is no price match issue. It's just a brilliant strategy, I think. So what else have we got on the list?
So if you are, of course, I thought about the pricing and optimizing your pricing. So if you are doing a discount, remember to fix the converted price again is in those main currencies. Now I'd like to get more specific on promotions. We have two systems. One is for English language books. So for this, we have that promotion tab that we were referring earlier. So basically, it was in a pilot, a beta mode. So it hasn't been open wide, but basically if you are, an author writing in English and you would like to be able to do promotion questions very easily on Kobo, you can just send us an email at writinglife@kobo.com, and then we will activate that promotion tab in your author dashboard. Mm-hmm. And so there you'll be able to see from 1 month to the other each promotion that is going to happen in the English language territories. We try to make them as wide as possible. So let's say we are doing a romance promotion end of October. We are going to work on Synergy in the US, in Canada, in the UK, and in Australia and New Zealand. So you will have the dates of the promotion, the genre of the books. Sometimes there is a price like requirement if we don't want books higher than this price, if the price needs to be discounted at least 30% off or 50% off. So you have all the requirements, and then you can pick the books that are in your dashboard that you think fit the requirements, and then you can just apply them to the promos. And then our merchandiser goes through them and selects the book that fit best that promotion. And because we are running those all the time, they can be by genre, it can be on the category page, it can be for the daily deals, which are very powerful. So you provide one discount to one ebook and it's featured in a banner on the homepage. It can be on the first free in series page that we were mentioning earlier. So you can just test all these various promotions and try to apply at the beginning. You probably don't know exactly which ones fit your readerships, but so just try a few ones, and then little by little you'll be more familiar to the way it works, and then you'll be able to fine tune also your strategy of discounting on Kobo to the English language readers.
And I just say on that, you have to be publishing direct on Kobo Writing Life to get that promotions tab. So that's just a little key for people, that if they go direct, they will then get that tab if they ask for it to be applied. And then just also my experience with it is apply for all the things that might fit your books. And then, of course, you won't get accepted for everything, but there's a sort of a hit rate after a time, and you just have to keep applying. So I have a reminder in my calendar, which is log on to Kobo Writing Life, apply for like 3 or 4 promotions, and then hopefully get one, just to keep things ticking over.
And thanks for stressing that. Of course, you need to be direct because that's among the perks that you get when you are direct with us. And the more you apply, the more you'll get chance to get accepted. And we also want to show the big variety of the catalog. So of course there is some rotation on the books and titles. It's not because you haven't been accepted yet that this will not happen. So just keep applying.
Your CEO at Digital Book World say some amazing percentage. Was it like 20% or 30% of ebooks sold are indies? Was it something like that?
Yeah, 20%, absolutely. Today, Kobo Writing Life is the first publisher of the Kobo catalog in terms of books that we provide, but also in terms of units sold. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, yeah. That's so cool. Anything else on the list about marketing?
Yeah, so let's go to the non-English language books you would like to promote. For this, we have the system is completely different. You just reach out. So, of course, you need to be direct on Kobo Writing Life. And then you just need to drop us a line at our email, writinglife@kobo.com, and tell us about your books, which languages are they available, how many do you have, if you are in the middle of translating a whole series, let us know also about the release schedule. And then that email is directed to the European team. So it's me and my colleague Sandra, who is also based in Paris and with a very strong focus on Italy, where we have a number of writing competitions and other nice projects going on. But the two of us are based in France, but we are covering the whole Europe. So we are working with German writers, Italian writers, French, of course, UK ones, Spanish ones, Dutch ones. So if you have a book that you would like to promote in any of those languages, just contact us through our email and tell us about your books in the same. If you are planning to do some promotion, let us know in advance. The more information we get on you, on your books, on the languages, stages that you are in or you are planning to be available very soon. And the more in advance this is, the better we can work. The way we work is we have a local merchandiser in each of these countries, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, UK. And we work with them. We have a very tight relation with them. And we really try to see what they have, what promotions they have upcoming on their side, and what we have on our side from our catalog that can fit best to their promotion. That's one thing. Then we also try to run Kobo Writing Line specific promotions regularly or daily deals. So we try to leverage all the things that the Kobo store enables in order to showcase the indie authors to our readers.
It's so good to hear about all the stuff that's going on in the international markets. I know there's probably more on the list. Is there more on the list for marketing?
Well, and yeah, the last things will be, of course, to look at all our resources online. We have blogs in English, in French, and in Italian. So we may want to look at this because we also give a lot of tips and advices and insights on the local markets. And of course, follow us on our social media because we also broadcast what we are doing and our latest updates there.
Yeah, and also there's a Kobo Writing Life podcast. People can get tips from that. And what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about a little bit about paid ads for marketing, because you can, someone like BookBub ads, for example, you can target Kobo readers using BookBub ads. People often forget that you can use the pay-per-click BookBub ads to target. And you can actually target in many different countries now on BookBub for Kobo. So I've just been doing that for a launch. So there are these other paid methods that you can do promotions too.
Yeah. Have you done any Facebook ads specific?
I did a few for trying to target Kobo, but I was trying to just use Canada. But I've kind of given up using Facebook because BookBub has these pay-per-click where you can target specifically people who've opted in for Kobo. Rather than Facebook, which doesn't have so much granularity around that. Mm-hmm. And also it just means you can target wider. Yeah, it just means BookBub readers are readers. Mm-hmm. So that would be my tip. And that's quite new. I mean, the BookBub pay-per-click stuff is, it's not, I'm not talking about the featured deals, which are the really super expensive ones. But so for example, I got good traction with targeting Steve Berry, who's a thriller writer, but with a historical religious side, a bit like my books. I got better traction with Kobo ads in Canada than I got with Amazon ads. So that's really interesting to me that I fit in that demographic within Kobo, but not within Amazon.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting insight, yeah. Because I remember, well, it was before that recent feature on BookBub, but I've seen some writers doing very targeted Facebook ads when they were launching their translation in France or in Italy or in Germany. And then their books were pretty successful and hitting our top 50 in those geos.
Well, I think probably in those markets, the advertising is less mature than the English language. So let's talk about translations, because because you and I have known each other a while. I tried translations early on, like probably too early. And there was no, for example, the German market was kind of just getting going. As when we met at Frankfurt Book Fair that year. Must be like 4 years ago now, maybe.
It was, four years.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. So the markets, and certainly France, just hadn't really even started going. Like, so what do you, again, I'm always early on this, but what do you think, where is the digital space, the ebook kind of reader market within Europe and the rest of the world, I guess? Like, is it just getting started, or which countries are more mature?
I think you were too early with it was Pentecost that you translated.
A couple of books and Desecration. And so I had German, Italian, Spanish. Just didn't, like, Italy, I've sold about €3. I mean.
You were probably too early, because on translation, really, I'm seeing some new level. It's been 1 year. And now it's really the trend is from English to non-English. with great success in romance, mainly romance, and then thriller. Those are the two genres that have been, I've seen some successful translation from English, mostly US, through French and Italian and German. And they've done great. Also because the authors, I think they had a plan. They picked the right, the right genre, the right book, series very often. And they had a whole release plan, and they really supported it through, paid ads. So they had, a whole plan of going wide and doing one market at a time. But I think that in terms of European markets, now France and Germany, and then Italy would be the, France, Germany, Netherlands, Italy. But there is, I would say the top two non-English would be Germany and France. Because we really have now an indie scene that is very identified, who has a voice. And you have that phenomenon that you've seen in the English language markets, where publishers come and chase after the most successful indie titles. And German indies started doing that before the French ones, keeping their digital rights, so signing up just for the print. And now we also have this in France, and it's happening more and more. It was not an easy thing to negotiate with the publishers, but now it's happening. They are aiming at keeping their digital rights and doing their own, being their own publisher for their ebooks, first in French. And now we have one, our top French author from France decided to publish also in English. So that's a first. I've seen some French or other from other European countries trying to break into the English market, US market, North American market. We know, of course, that it's very hard. It's very crowded there, and it's even more crowded than it was a few years ago. But what is really interesting with Julie de L'Etrange, that's her name. She had her first two novels that got ranked on our top for they've been published with us since 2 years, and they are among, I think, our top 10 ebooks. And her first book was even Kobo's the most read book in 2017. Worldwide, across all languages. It's been an incredible success, and so she was very smart to keep her digital rights. And for her next novel that she just published, she decided to keep her rights, but also to go wide into English, because this is a young adult novel, dystopian young adult, which fits very much the North American market. So she wanted to go international, and she decided to partner with us. So she's giving us the exclusivity for her book for a few months, and we are supporting her and promoting her for the launch of her book in French, but also in English in North America, with a full campaign to support that.
Yeah.
So I think that the French market and the other markets in the German is really similar as France. It's maturing a bit now, and we see those savvy authors that you used to have in the US, in the UK. We see those profiles here too, France, in Germany.
That's great to hear. And also, I think it's so interesting, and you see that kind of roll out across the world. I mean, maybe right now France might be where the US was in, say, 2012, for example. And the authors, and like I would, if people listening, and that people listen to this show in 200 countries, right? Which is amazing.
Wow.
I know. So basically, if you're in a country that is not already a mature market, like the US, UK, Canada, Australia, like those would be the most mature markets. Mm-hmm. Like like look at what the history has been, and then look at your market and go, okay, so how can I position myself? So that when this movement kind of, it spreads, will I be in a good position? I mean, it's so interesting, isn't it? I think, like you said about the ads, the paid ads, and having a series, like any, if you were publishing in English, we all say, write a series, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, do some paid ads. The same applies, but there's less competition. What I would say to people is, don't rush into translations. Like, I don't think that's the message here. It's more you know, if you're in these other markets, things are quite exciting.
Yeah, and if you want, if you are considering translation, just think about your plan in all details before doing anything, because of course there is a cost to do translation. You want a return on your investment, so you need to pick the country where you want to start, where you will have the biggest readership. We know that Germany, it's about 80 million inhabitants. France, it's 70 million. So yeah, I mean, those are really big countries, and they turn digital. We might have a word about the pace of this digital revolution, because in the press, in the French press mainly, you see that, oh, things are very slow and people are not, they haven't adopted ebook massively. This is, I think, from a publisher's perspective, but it's really not the digital perspective that we have. What we see is that publishers are still doing a lot on their print business. So they want to keep that going. And so they have been developing their ebook business maybe slower. But some, like the ones that were very strong in the genre, maybe mainly the genre that work in digital, so thriller, romance, fantasy, sci-fi, those ones have put all their efforts in their digital revolution, and now they are very successful. So I would say that don't look at just the statistics given by the Publishers Association in all those countries. They are not always representative of the whole market.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I mean, that's, again, the romance authors are often the first into new ways of doing things. They're the first into marketing stuff. They're the first into new markets. And they have to use the latest technologies, because the mainstream publishers often ignore them and kind of say they're second class, when actually they're the ones selling the bulk of the books, and they're doing amazing things. So it's really good to hear that, because of course there was a recent in the press, the thing about France was this indie book that was shortlisted for a literary prize, and the booksellers refused to stock it because it was create space. Now, of course, all of us indies were like, why didn't you publish with Ingram Spark?
Yeah, well, in fact, it's not that the booksellers wouldn't stock it. They were really furious that the book was only through CreateSpace, and so they couldn't get it. Or if they could get it and ask Amazon, the conditions would be so hard, that favorable, that they wouldn't really earn any money on that. So that's, and of course it was Amazon, which is, well, the first enemy for traditional book chain. But yeah, I think that it wasn't that they were not aiming at despising the indie community. That has been perceived as this. So it was not, I mean, they were really aiming at Amazon, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the point being, if people don't realize, you can't get a discount as a bookseller if you order from CreateSpace, which is why if you want to go wide with print, you kind of go through Ingram Spark or other printers where the bookseller can get a discount, because that's their business model. So yeah, if indies don't offer discounts, then how can a bookstore order their books? I mean, it's kind of a thinking about other people's business model is really important.
Yeah, exactly. And since you're talking about that, maybe we can mention this difference between France, Germany on one hand, and the UK about that fixed price law. Because you used to have the net book agreement in the UK, but then it disappeared. That says that the books have to be priced equal. We still have that system for print books in France. It dates back to 1981. And that has also been the reason why we still have such an important number of booksellers, physical booksellers in France. We have 3,000 indie booksellers, and the number of places where book is the first product that they are selling is 15,000. So it's really huge.
So just to be clear, the book has to be the same price
Yeah, exactly.
At every place. Yeah. So you can't sell cheaper on Amazon.
No, so you cannot do any discount. So for print, you had a 5% maximum discount. And then this law has been adapted to digital. So we have the same law, fixed price law on ebooks with no discount at all. So an ebook must be priced the same price with through all retailers, which is important because when an author is doing a promotion, they should remember to drop the price on Kobo, but also on Amazon, on Google, all the platforms.
Yeah, all the platforms. Exactly. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I love this, though. I love having an international perspective because so often we just forget these different things. But I do, as we're coming towards the end now, I do want to talk about audiobooks because I'm really excited about audio. I think maybe we all thought that audio was kind of hitting the big time 3 years ago, but it feels like now things mm-hmm. are really stepping up and Kobo is now doing audiobooks. They have you have audiobooks in Walmart and also online with Kobo Audio. So tell us a bit more about what's going on with audio with Kobo Writing Life. Anything you can tell us about that?
Yeah, so audio, it's been the hot topic, I feel like, last year and really this year through all the fairs that I've been, not just for English markets, but also in Europe. And so Kobo launched the audio catalog in English and also in French. And so we are looking into expanding because we've seen some really good traction from readers so far. It looks like they were waiting for that. And from authors too. And so we just want to make things easier for our authors. So we are working on an audio upload on the Kobo Writing Life portal, the same way as authors can upload their ebook file. We would like to enable them to upload their audio file so that then their audio would be distributed to Kobo very easily. And this is our main topic at the moment, and we hope to be rolling it out before the end of the year. So in the meantime, if any author has an audiobook that they would like to distribute to us, they can just contact us by email, writinglife@kobo.com, and we'll be working with them to distribute their book. But very soon we'll have some very good facilities for audio.
I'm really excited about this because there's lots of, I think at Frankfurt, Apple also said they were working on something. So I think what we're going to see is we've gone from a very Amazon-dominated audio space with Audible and ACX to suddenly in 2019, I think we're going to have wide audio distribution like sorted. So I would, my advice to people is probably just hang on a minute until, you know, it's only a couple of months, hopefully, until you guys launch. And then it's really a case of, wow, look at what's happening in these markets. So do you, this is what's interesting to me. Of course, there's a backlash against ebooks by the French booksellers because and against cultural side of books and blah, blah, blah. But I almost feel like audiobooks are not something that those booksellers and things are that concerned with. Like they're not selling tapes and CDs. So could we even see the adoption of audiobooks by digital being faster than ebooks?
Well, some think that, well, We always had those specialized bookstores where you could find those tapes or CDs books, but they were very few. But in the main bookstores, it was very hard to find those. So maybe because there is not this reluctance to the format, the audio adoption could be quicker, and that's also one of our ambitions. For example, in France, we worked, of course, with Fnac, but Kobo and Fnac partnered with Orange, which is the biggest telco, so with 16 million people using an Orange subscription for their telephone. So it means that those people have been receiving emails and text messages telling them that they could test the audio experience through us. So they could get this for free just as a test. So we are also trying to convert massively the readers and any people that has a smartphone.
Wow, that partnership with telco companies, that's very, very smart, and I love the Kobo partnership model. And of course that would be the thing, like in India now, sub-Saharan Africa as well, with mobile first economies,
that's how people are doing micropayments. It's all going through the telco company. So that to me seems like a really smart way of kind of bypassing the fact that you have to download another app and all of that type of thing. So, oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. We just love to test and experiment new things and new ideas. And I think, that's innovation has really been root in Kobo's development since the beginning. And we just keep that going.
Yeah, exciting times. So anything else that you want to tell the listeners about Kobo Writing Life?
The last thing I would like to say is that we are a very small team, but we are very accessible and very reactive. We go to fairs. That's how we got to meet each other. You met Christy at Nink a few weeks earlier. So we are there in the physical field because we think it's important to meet with our authors face to face and to work with them on a long-term relation. So just feel free to contact us, whether on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, through our email. You can subscribe to our newsletters in English, French, and Italian. And just let us know about you and your books and your ambition for your publishing career.
Fantastic. I love that. So where can people find Kobo Writing Life and everything they need online?
So, the portal, it's kobo.com/writinglife. And then we have the English blog, which is kobowritinglife.com. And there you will find the link to the English, to the French and Italian blogs as well. And then on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, we are under Kobo Writing Life.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Camille. That was great.
Thank you, Joanna. That was a lovely chat, and I hope your listeners will enjoy it.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Camille today. And also remember to go check out Mark Lefebvre's book, Killing It on Kobo, for extra tips, and check out the weekly podcast from Kobo Writing Life. If you're ready to publish wide, you want to increase your sales on the platform, you should now have everything you need to go do that. Now, next week, I'll be talking about book cover design tips with Stuart Baish. And we get into color theory, which I think is fascinating, as well as when to rebrand your book if it's been out a while or if you're getting the rights back to a book that's been with a traditional publisher. We talk about intellectual property rights of design and also free options if you're designing your own book cover and lots more. So look forward to that. Happy writing week, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at thecreativepen or find me on Facebook at thecreativepen. See you next time.